Welcome to Tabernacle Presbyterian Church in Indianapolis, Indiana. Today, Pastor Oscar Clavel delivers the message entitled, A Spiritual Battle.
Our gospel lesson this morning is taken from the Gospel of Mark, chapter 5, beginning at the first verse. Let's together listen to this, the word of our Lord. They, meaning Jesus and his disciples, came to the other side of the sea, to the country of the Gerasenes. And when Jesus had stepped out of the boat, immediately a man out of the tombs with an unclean spirit met him. He lived among the tombs, and no one could restrain him anymore, even with a chain. For he had often been restrained with shackles and chains, but the chains he wrenched apart and the shackles he broke in pieces, and no one had the strength to subdue him. Night and day among the tombs and on the mountains, he was always howling and bruising himself with stones. When he saw Jesus from a distance, he ran and bowed down before him. And he shouted at the top of his voice, "What have you to do with me, Jesus, Son of the Most High God? I adjure you by God, do not torment me." For Jesus had said to him, "Come out of the man, you unclean spirit." Then Jesus asked him, "What is your name?" He replied, "My name is Legion, for we are many." He begged him earnestly not to send them out of the country. Now there on the hillside a great herd of swine was feeding, and the unclean spirits begged him, "Send us into the swine, let us enter them." So he gave them permission, and the unclean spirits came out and entered the swine, and the herd, numbering about 2,000, rushed down the steep bank into the sea and were drowned in the sea. The swine herds ran off and told it in the city and in the country. Then people came to see what it was that had happened. They came to Jesus and saw the demoniac sitting there, clothed and in his right mind, the very man who had the legion, and they were afraid. Those who had seen what had happened to the demoniac and to the swine reported it. Then they began to beg Jesus to leave their neighborhood. And as he was getting into the boat, the man who had been possessed by demons begged him that he might be with him. But Jesus refused and said to him, "Go home to your friends and tell them how much the Lord has done for you and what mercy he has shown to you." And he went away and began to proclaim in the Decapolis how much Jesus had done for him. And everyone was amazed. This is the word of our Lord. Thanks be to God.
Let us pray. Gracious God, we give you thanks for this day provided to us, a day of grace, a day of mercy, a day of love, a day to grow and to be convicted about the truth of the gospel of Jesus Christ. And so, Lord, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts be pleasing in your sight. It is in Christ's name we pray. Amen. A few years ago, some of you may remember that I went to El Salvador, where I'm from, with Habitat for Humanity. And it was a great trip for that first week that we were there. We did pretty much what Habitat does here. We helped build a house, laid a foundation. And in a week's time, under that hot sun and that tropical rain, we left and a foundation had started to be built for a new family. The nice thing about being able to go back home was also that I got to spend a week with my family that I had not seen, if you can believe this, 10 years. And of course, we were all a little fatter than we had seen each other the last time, but that just comes with time, right? But as I was visiting with my family, I was surprised to see how dynamic and how expressive their faith had become and was. You know, one day I remember wanting to go out to eat, and my cousin said, "Well, I can't because I'm doing a feeding at a certain part of the city this afternoon." And I said, "Oh, okay, that's fine." I asked another aunt, she said, "Oh, no, I need to go to the church because we're going out into this shanty town and we're going to help distribute some things." And I was perplexed as I talked to my family that whole week that somehow they had really been able to integrate their faith into some sort of social responsibility. And I remember asking my cousin, I said, "Why do you guys do this? It just seems so interesting." And she looked back at me and said, Why not? Almost as if I was actually the crazy one. As I became know a little bit more about the history of my people and the history of my country, a name began to pop up, a name that has influenced the Catholic Church and really all of Latin America, but has really been impactful in El Salvador. And that man is Oscar Romero, which, by the way, I'm not named after him. Oscar's an old family name, as they say. Oscar Romero was a Catholic priest. He was born into the upper class. And when I'm talking about upper class, I'm not talking about what you and I might consider upper class, but I'm talking about that 1 or 2% of society that has everything. He was born into that world. And he thought that all of his life he would be a priest to that world, to that upper class world. But a few things happened. The archdiocese came to see that he was an excellent speaker. And so they said, we need to just let him out and let him go preach out into the villages and the towns. And so he did. And as he went out into the towns and the villages, he began to experience life in such a way that was so different from the way he experienced it before. He saw that his country was plagued both in poverty and in violence. And he was a man that was around during the height of the civil war in El Salvador, so in the 70s and 80s, that's when his ministry takes place. And he was so transformed by what he saw that Oscar Romero is known for saying that if you want to know the character of God, if you want to know what God is like, then be with the poor and you will see God most clearly. But Oscar Romero also had this other word, and it's been a powerful word. He says, a church that doesn't provoke any crisis, a gospel that doesn't unsettle, a word of God that doesn't get under anyone's skin, a word of God that doesn't touch the real sin of the society in which it is being proclaimed, what gospel is that? What he's saying here is that if the gospel that you and I preach and talk about and proclaim does not have anything to say to the world that we live in, then it is no gospel. It has no power. It has no authority. And we know this because in our story today from the demon-possessed man, we find an example of Jesus speaking to the society, to the world that he live in. You see, a century before Jesus went to this area, it was in northern Israel called the Decapolis. We don't know how many, don't know the names of the cities and the towns, but they were the 10 cities. And a century before, Rome had brought in its legions, that's 10 cohorts that make up a 5,000 men, had come into northern Israel and had conquered it, had defeated it, had oppressed the people, and it was such to a place where there were no Jews in this area. Only Gentiles lived there because the tyranny and the oppression of Rome in northern Israel at that time was too much for any Jew to live under. And in fact, the people came to see Rome as the ultimate enemy, as the ultimate monster. They would see Rome as the Christians in Revelation would say, Rome is Satan incarnated. Why? Because Rome wanted the people to bow and worship other gods. And the Jews and the Christians, our brothers and sisters, in the first century could not live like that. But what we find in this story is we find a man who has been totally consumed, destroyed, wrecked by the powers, the legions of his world and of his society. He is wrecked, a naked, isolated, self-destructive man. And Jesus goes into this area and he says, who are you? We are legion, for we are many. You have no power here. Pigs, they say, send us to pigs. Jesus says, sure. And he cast them into the sea. Now, pigs was a term that the Jews would use to talk about Rome. It was a derogatory term because the most filthy animal was a pig, and the most filthiest thing in society at that time was Rome. And the reason why Jesus says, go into the sea, is because in ancient times, the sea was not the place of vacation that you and I think of it today. We love to look out into the water. Ancient folks thought the water was the scariest thing could ever exist, because out of it came the creatures. Out of it came demons. Out of it came the Leviathan. And so the ancient people, they said, into the abyss, Jesus says, into the abyss goes the pig. Into the abyss goes the powers and the darkness and that which consumes and destroys people. So Jesus, in a very remarkable way, is speaking two things in this story. And that first thing, this layer of truth, that reality, he's talking about first century politics, first century socio-political commentary. And Jesus has something to say about that. Now, I understand that talking about politics from the pulpit makes everybody in this room cringe. You can see all your shoulders going up right now. What's he gonna say? Oh, Lord. And I get it, because I do the same thing. And there's a reason why. My pride and my arrogance. I believe that I know it all. That my bias is the correct bias. That my politics is the correct politics. And I don't want to hear anybody tell me that I'm wrong. But folks, this is what Jesus is talking about here. And it's what Oscar Romero talked about as well. You see, in the time of the Civil War, those who were for the government were for death. And those who were for the guerrilleros, they were also for death. Because one of the truths that we know about El Salvador to this day is that mass graves are found in the jungle of people that went missing decades ago. They went to the store. They went to work. They were going to school. And all of a sudden, they never came back that night. And Oscar Romero lived in this time when families were being separated, families were being executed and killed. And Oscar Romero says, how can we say that the government or the guerrilleros are the right ones? How can we be so blind to the politics of our day? And he says, we must also, I think Jesus would say this, we must also ask ourselves, is the politics of our day aligning with the message of Jesus Christ? And if it is not, then Jesus says, you pig into the sea, you must go as well. Now, I'm not going to tell you what the politics of our day is. You read it, you hear it every single day. But we must, as Christians, not accept it blindly. But we must, as the gospel tells us, because if it is truly the gospel, then it will speak to the society and to the social sins that we live in. Because if it does not, then it is no gospel, and it has no power, and it sets no one free. So we are challenged. As Oscar Romero says, the gospel that gets under your skin, that's the gospel. But folks, we can't just talk about social sin without also recognizing the human element to it as well. In this story, there is a real man who is consumed, who is distraught, who is defeated by the power of sin in his life. And this man is so defeated and so consumed that he is led to self-mutilation, isolation from one another. Now, we as Christians cannot become demon-possessed. It's an impossibility for us. But we know the power of sin, and we know its grip in our lives. Oscar Romero had this quote, "How easy it is to denounce structural injustice, institutionalized violence, social sin. And it is true, this sin is everywhere. But where are the roots of this social sin? In the heart of every human being. Present-day society is a sort of an anonymous world in which no one is willing to admit guilt, but yet everyone is responsible. We are all sinners, and we have all contributed to this massive crime and violence in our country. Salvation begins with the human person, with human dignity, in saving every person from sin. That's why I love this story of the demoniac so much. It teaches me that Jesus has a word for our world, and it's a challenging world. But at the same time, Jesus throws the responsibility to us, and he says, but sin is a real thing. And that also must be cast out, and that must also be thrown out into the sea like those pigs. You see, folks, this is the message of the gospel for us today. The gospel has something to say to our time and our day. And we are but responsible and but being wise in questioning the politics of our day, as every generation must and will and continues to do it. And if it is not of Christ, then to the sea it must go, to the very depths from which it came. But at the same time, we know this. Sin, human sin, my sin, your sin, is a real thing. And the gospel has this to say. Wherever humans are in pain today, which is pretty much every part of the world, the gentle healing message of Jesus needs to be applied, identifying with those in pain to bring God's healing where it's needed the most. Now, I'll admit with you, as I admit to my God, that I will be the first to raise my hand and tell you this. I am not always the one that practices the gospel the best. I also can feel indifference, apathy. I can also say things and people are inconvenient. But yet, even to that, Jesus would say, that can also be cast out into the sea, and that can no longer be an excuse for us. Folks, this is a word of God for us. It is a word of healing, it is a word of challenge, and it is a word that even as I preach it to you today, gets a little bit under my skin too. Let us pray. Gracious God, we are so thankful for your Holy Spirit, which always speaks truth to us, Lord, in ways that sometimes unsettle us, and yet oftentimes in that unsettlement brings healing. We ask you, Lord, today for our own purpose as people of God to speak the truth of Christ wherever we may be. Lord, forgive us for our culpability, and yet, Lord, we also thank you for your forgiveness. Lord, speak to us in these moments of, Lord, how we can live the gospel where we have not lived it, and Lord, where you are taking us, for it is truly the gospel of Jesus Christ.